Boy, I hope I do this psalm justice. I think the praise and worship has really done some justice to this psalm we're going to hit today. I call this series A Psalm a Day Keeps the Doctor Away. The reason I say that, the psalms are so healthy because in the psalms there's every type of human emotion: frustration, anger, paranoia, discouragement, joy, exuberance, celebration. And you have people almost relating to God. We see people relating to God in a very real, honest way, and it's very healthy to be like that with God. And it's also God's plainness. One of the biggest books in the Old Testament is actually a book of songs and poems, and it's meant to be played to music. So that gives you some idea maybe of God's heart and God's understanding of the importance of singing and thanksgiving and music and all that kind of thing. Can you hear me okay? I'm not sure if this is picking up on it. So what is this psalm? This is one of my favourites. Now, I know you're thinking, Stephen, you say that about every passage, and there's truth in that. Whatever passage I'm reading at the time, it just becomes my favourite. I suppose one of my ambitions in speaking the scriptures out is that we would fall in love with the scriptures and just see the breadth and the depth. It's not what? Okay.
It's not on.
That's fine. I can just.
No, I think I just switches it.
Oh, it is on.
Yeah, okay.
That you would fall in love with the scriptures and really, really see the scriptures as the word of God, to bring life and to quicken us. So Psalm 100, now this, I warn you, this is a really upbeat psalm. It's very positive. Isn't that good? It's a psalm of thanksgiving. And I'm going to read it to you in two versions. One is the ESV, and it goes something like this, and then I'll read it in the message. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and we're his. We're his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. On your feet now, applaud God. Bring a gift of laughter. Sing yourself into his presence. Know this, God is God, and God, God. He made us, we didn't make him. We're his people, his well-tended sheep. Enter with the password, thank you. Make yourselves at home talking praise. Thank him, worship him, for God is sheer beauty. All generous in love, loyal always and forever. It's pretty good, isn't it? There is no place for a dull, dead, lukewarm religion in Christianity.
Amen.
It is an absolute disgrace that we would give the world the impression that our God is not the most wonderful, kindest person in the universe. Worthy, gladly and voluntarily of the best singing, the best praise, the best serving with gladness. There is no place for, what did I write down here earlier? Funeral faces and dull dirges. Psalm 100 is fantastic. Let's get God a good name in all the earth. And I'm going to share very quickly just a few, I call this gems from Psalm 100. And basically, they're all very positive and all very encouraging. But listen, it's also really challenging. Because sometimes I don't want to be glad. I like to feel sorry for myself. Sometimes I like to get the wrong perspective on things. There are days when I do not feel like thanking God. I'm sorry that's not true of anyone else. This is going to challenge us because there is a way of entering God's presence where you get over yourself and you get over all the things that interfere with our enjoyment of this marvelous God. So let me bring a few of those gems to you. Fasten your seatbelt. It will encourage you, but it will also challenge you. The first two verses, it says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Now, the picture is this. Have you ever been at a concert and you're waiting for the singer, you're waiting for the band, or maybe you're at some big event and you're waiting for the president to arrive, or the queen to arrive, or the prime minister to arrive. You're waiting for the king to arrive. And someone announces, here they are, the king is here, and the people just went crazy. That's the picture here. Our king is the King of Kings. And it says, make a joyful noise before the Lord. I really like that, because there's some people in this room, you can't sing a note. I'm not going to name any names. But it says, make a joyful noise. God appreciates us entering his presence with a sense of joy and a sense of praise and a sense of making noise. I don't know if you've heard of this, but there is a thing that someone has called the worship wars. And it's where in the body of Christ there is this fight between those who say church music should be high, the highest quality, preferably with a choir, preferably with four parts singing, well written, that can stand the test of time. It's not flaky. The words are very, very strong, very doctrinal. And I have to say, some of Handel's music I love. Some of Bach's music I love. I love to play Bach in the background of having my devotions. You see some of those old hymns, I just love them. But then there are others who say, our music needs to be contemporary. It needs to be relevant. It needs to have drums. It needs to connect with all ages. It needs to be sensitive to all cultures. There's got to be freedom to express ourselves in worship. Brothers and sisters, let's have it all. Let's make a joyful noise. There's sometimes I love to sing a very simple chorus. There's sometimes I like to say, I like you, Lord, I love you, Lord, over and over and over and over again. That is okay. I can wait when I hear the Messiah being played, but I can also engage with God with great communion with a child song. Because it's not about the style of music, it's about the heart. Mm-hmm. It's about the spirit. And he loves it all. He enjoys it all. In fact, it says through the mouth of children and infants. I've never heard a child or an infant singing opera. They just gurgle out their praise. That's good. That's all right, because it's real and it's honest. And I think I've decided not to fight this worship war, not to be involved with it, but just to get on with worshiping God and appreciating all the forms of expression that we can enjoy. Apart from one style of music, which I'll not tell you about. So praise God for diversity. Praise God for life. Praise God for a joyful noise. And let's get over the worship. And then it says in verse 1, and Steve, this was right in line with what you said. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Even in the Old Testament. And this was probably sung going to the temple or in the synagogues. And what we see here is God always had a heart for the whole globe and the whole earth and all the nations. And our ambition is to see people, men, women and children from every ethnic group joining in this hymn of praise. That's what it's all about. There's a connection between mission and worship. You know what my mission is? Get more worshippers. Get people loving Jesus the way I love Jesus. Get people believing in Jesus the way I believe in Jesus from every background. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. We had a football tournament yesterday, and we had, I don't know how many nations were represented, with every nation, with Sri Lankans, Sudan, African nations, some people from Northern Ireland were at it. And I just thought, isn't this imagine all these people making a joyful noise to the Lord, all in their own different languages, being together for kingdom, the purposes of God. What a vision. This is exciting. And when we worship God in our shower, or in our car, or in our church building, just imagine that there's worship going on all across the face of the globe, and there's worship going on in heaven. We are not alone. We are not alone. Amen. All the earth. And then it says in verse 2, serving the Lord with gladness. It's possible to serve without gladness, but there's something about serving the Lord with gladness. Serving and singing, coming into his presence with praise. It says in verse 2, come into his presence with singing. Think about that. Have you ever had an audience with somebody really important? Have you ever had access to somebody in a place of authority and power that you have to be invited into that place? I've tried, but you can't walk into the White House unannounced. Brothers and sisters, because of the blood of Christ, we can come into the presence of the Holy of Holies, of God himself, and he receives us, and he listens to us. How do you come in? You come in with thanksgiving and praise. That's the way in. The password is thanksgiving. You ever imagine being somewhere, maybe it is in the very presence of God, in before the throne of God, and somebody says to you, who let you in? The answer is Christ, the blood, the cross. Isn't that fantastic? I think we take for granted so many things in life, not least the fact that we have access to God. You can come to God as a father. You can come to God. You can come to the throne of grace, and you will receive mercy and grace during your hour of need. Come in with thanksgiving. Come in with praise. And come in boldly. And that's all implied in this psalm. I was thinking about babies and infants. Remember in Psalm 8 it says, through the mouth of babies and infants you've ordained praise, you've ordained strength. And for me, when Jesus said become like a little child, I see, when I read the Psalms, I see evidence of what it is to be childlike in terms of praise, in terms of worship, in terms of relating to God. When I look at a baby, even before a baby can speak, it can cry. And so many of the Psalms speak about crying out to God. Make your groan known. When I look at a baby, before they can read music, they make these musical gurgling sounds at the age of 6 months. And there's something about being childlike, that even our gurgling praise is pleasing to the Father. And then I see one last thing with babies and small children, is they have this ability to trust their parents. And they're not worried about the mortgage. They're not worried about their education. They just have this childlike trust in God. And all over the scriptures and all over the Psalms, the psalmist is discovering trust in God. Trust in God. Keep trusting in God. He is trustworthy. He's faithful. Verse 3. It says like this. Know the Lord, he is God. It's him who made us. We're his people, the sheep of his pasture. We have a God who's revealed himself. He made us and he knows us. Now think about that. The God we worship didn't just make us. He knows us. He doesn't just know us. He loves us. Now, nobody's making a joyful noise and shout here. Let me try to give you something to think about here. There are people who know me, but they don't love me. There are people who love me, but they don't know everything about me. Because if I told them something about me, I'm afraid they'd stop loving me. Brothers and sisters, God knows everything about you. And he loves you. And he made you. There's only one response to that. Sing. Joyful noise. Serve him with gladness. It is so appropriate. It's something you just can't help doing. I can't help it. Because it is so fascinating. It's so wonderful. And one of the icebreakers I do with people, this is terrible that dogs come up so often in this church. Here's another doggy story. But one of the icebreakers I love is, what animal are you most like and why? And here in this room, there's a few cats, and there's maybe a few dogs. I'm a boxer myself. A friend of mine said years ago, you start to look like your pets. What's the name of your tortoise? But biblically speaking, do you know how God sees us? Sheep. It doesn't sound very complimentary, sure. But we're all like sheep. Yeah. Have you ever watched sheep? That sheep's wandering over that cliff. I'm away with him. A few sheep over here. Nice grass. Yes, there's a wolf or two, but that's okay. I like the grass. The wolves are coming. All like sheep. Yeah. Oh, we desperately need a God who's a shepherd. We've got one. We've got a shepherd. He looks after us as a perfect shepherd. Protects us, lays his life down for us. It's absolutely astounding. It says, know that this God we worship, he's a shepherd of his people. Isn't that fantastic?
Yeah.
And you know, one of the other thoughts I love when I read the Old Testament, that the New Testament tells us that Christ is everywhere in the Old Testament, but he's not obvious. You have to go searching. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be hungry. Where is Christ? In Psalm 1, we see a righteous man who meditates on the law of God day and night. There is nobody's ever existed apart from one person who's been totally meditated day and night without a break on the word of God. That's Christ. In Psalm 2 it says, kiss the Son, there's Christ. In Psalm 100, I see Christ. The shepherd laid down his life for his sheep. The Lord is good. I see Christ. His steadfast love endures forever. I see Christ. His faithfulness to all generations. What was the most loving thing God ever did? What was the most faithful thing God ever did? Christ crucified for us, that we could have access to relationship with him. And so this psalm magnifies Christ. It magnifies my appreciation of Christ. It magnifies my attitude to Christ. And there's only one response. Make a joyful noise, serve the Lord with gladness, sing and be thankful. Verse 4, nearly finished. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. The password is thanksgiving. This is the challenging bit, brothers and sisters. For those of you that have brought up children, one of the things you teach your children from an early age is to say thank you. And it's really funny because you'll maybe say to a child, look, thank your grandfather for that gift. Okay, thanks. And, you know, and sometimes you think, is that genuine? Is it real? Is it realistic, Stephen, to enter his gates with thanksgiving, to always be thankful? Is it realistic? The password is thanksgiving. Is it realistic and practical and logistically possible? The answer is, it really is. The devil's a liar.
the devil is a dirty fighter. If he can get us ungrateful, if he can get us pessimistic, if he can get us into a negative place, if he can accuse God that God is not good, you will end up depressed, you will end up discouraged. But if we could get a revelation that we, of all people, have so much to be thankful for. Prove it to me, Stephen. Let me prove it to you. In the ordinary course of life, even if you can't walk, you can't see, and you can't hear, are you still breathing? I am so thankful for my next breath.
Yes.
I'm so thankful for my food. I'm so thankful for my home. I'm so thankful for my wife. I'm so thankful. I could just go on forever. Once you get a revelation of how much God has given us in the ordinary things, we discover we're thankful. Even the things I worry about, I'm thankful that I have reason to worry about that. All of you that have challenges in your marriage, I know people would love to be married. All those that are concerned about children, I know people who would love to have children. All people who've got stress in your job, I know people would love to have a job. I heard a story, this is sort of told before, but there's people here who haven't heard some of my stories. And the ones that have forgotten them. And this guy says, oh, I'm so annoyed, my car's broken down, and what am I going to do? I'm going to have to take my bicycle to work. And his friend says, you have a bicycle? Yeah, but you don't understand. It's quite hard for me to ride my bicycle because it's got a puncture. I'm going to have to walk. You've got legs? Yeah, I've got legs. I'm so thankful for the fact that I have legs. Something happens when you start to see how much we've been thankful. And I haven't even mentioned the amazing things that are true for us to be thankful for because of Christ's death on the cross. Let me say something to you. We're going to be studying in a couple of the groups spiritual warfare. And there's a thing in Ephesians that says, put on the armour of God. And you know, there's all kinds of thoughts. What is the armour of God? And how do you put the armour of God on? And let me tell you what the armour of God is. The armour of God is knowing what the scriptures say about you in Christ. The armour of God is knowing what the scripture says about you in Christ, and don't let anything from the top of your head or the soles of your feet rob you of that.
Yes.
And I'm so thankful for all the things the scripture says about my position in Christ and your position in Christ. Do you know what? Let me just give it to you. 3 seconds, 1 minute, of all the blessings, some of the blessings that are true of us in Christ. All your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. You are righteous, justified, declared righteous before God. In Christ, you're sanctified, set apart, belonging to Him. In Christ, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. He dwells within you. In Christ, you're baptized into the body of Christ. In Christ, you're accepted in the Beloved. You're not rejected. You're not condemned. You're in Christ. All the anger of God is taken away. In Christ, we're friends with God. We're reconciled. In Christ, I have eternal security. I am sealed by the Holy Spirit. Not death, nor life, nor powers, nor principalities can separate me from the love of God. Bring it on. Nothing can hinder my future. I have eternal life now. I have eternal security now. My old life is dead and buried in Christ. I'm risen in Christ. I'm ascended in Christ. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. Every thought, every mood, every emotion contrary to that is a lie. It's a stinking lie. I refuse to be hindered by thoughts, attitude, emotions, reminders, memories that are not in line with the truth of the Word of God. That's the armor of God. Get it on every day. Get it on every morning and keep it on. I'm so thankful for all those things. Sorry, I divert a little bit there. But praise and the password is thanksgiving. Wow. If only one of those things was true, all my sins are forgiven. That would be enough to serve the Lord with gladness, come into his presence with praise and thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise. Finally, verse 5. Sorry, this is so simple. God is good. I thought that was invented by the Nigerian Pentecostal church, God is good, but it's not. It's in the Bible. God is good. It says that in verse 5, doesn't it? God is good. We sang it this morning, Jason. God is good, and you put an O on the end of it. The Lord is good. But you see, that's a challenge to me. Because I've got some trials. I've got some tribulations. I've seen every type of human suffering. I have to do a funeral this week. Young woman found dead, alcoholic, that we were trying to help. We're hearing all kinds of things happening around the earth. God is good. God is good.
Amen.
That's part of the armor, brothers and sisters. That's the glasses we need to put on. There is a perspective. There is a truth beyond what we think is true. God is good. 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now, 1 million years from now, we will realize it in fullness that God is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Mm-hmm. And his faithfulness to all generations. God is good. His love endures forever. God is faithful. The first sign of sanity is talking to yourself. Tell yourself, God is good. God's love endures forever. And God is faithful. And here's a final thought about worship. Whichever God you worship, you will become like that God. If you worship an idol, a corrupt, useless, worthless thing, or a false idea of what God is like, you will start to be influenced by that. But if our God is good, our God is faithful, our God's a great king, our God is loyal, our God is beautiful, our God is all generous and love, we will be transformed moment by moment, day by day, into his image. So I finish. I'll hand it back to you, Ken. I'm going to read the message as my benediction here. Now, don't do this. I know you're bursting to do this, but just get the phrases. On your feet now, applaud God. Bring a gift of laughter. Sing yourselves into his presence. Know God is God. He made us, we didn't make him. We're his people, his well-tended sheep. Enter with the password, thank you. Make yourself at home talking praise. Thank him, worship him. For God is sheer beauty. All generous and love, loyal always and ever. Let's get God a good name. Let's get him the best reputation on the face of the earth so we can get him. Amen. Amen.
When you get to heaven, you'll hear a guy in the corner singing his heart out like Pavarotti. That'll be me. Because I find it so frustrating to have brought up all these musical children And I would love to be able to sing, as Steph was exhorting us to sing this morning. So if you hear what sounds like Pavarotti when you get to heaven, it'll be me. I just want to share one more little scripture, because I've been mulling this over since the start of the new year. And it's very relevant to what we've heard this morning. It says this: the word which they heard did not profit them, because it was not mixed with faith. That's out of Hebrews 4. The word which they heard did not profit them, because it was not mixed with faith. And the word we've heard this morning will not profit us unless it's mixed with faith. Now, faith is not clinging on desperately to something you know isn't really true. And a lot of people think that's what faith is. Well, I don't really believe it, but I'm clinging on anyway. And it's not saying something over and over again until you believe it. Faith is living your life on the principle that what the scripture says is true. That's what faith is, and that's what Steph was exhorting us to this morning. What the scripture says about humanity, what the scripture says about you as a person, what the scripture says about the past, what the scripture says about the future, it's true. Yeah. And if you live your life like that, then you're going to have an impact on all the people that you meet. Mm-hmm. And you will introduce them to God because you really believe it. Some years ago when I was working, one of the official things I had to do was to read the final lesson at the University Carol Service. And the final lesson in the Carol Service is 1 John. My favourite passage of scripture: in the beginning was the Word. Yeah. And I read it. And at the end of the Carol Service, and people were having coffee and biscuits, which is what we used to do. People think universities are work. They're not really. It's all biscuits and coffee. Somebody came up to me and said, do you know, he said, you read that as if you really believed it. And I said, do you know what?
I did.
I really do. So I would just like us to pray on the back of what we've heard this morning from Stan, because that is so powerful. What we've heard. But this week, we would live knowing that what we've heard is true, mixing that word with faith. Because I think you'll be surprised at the effect it has on the people that you meet. So let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you, Lord, that there's so much life in it. We want to thank you, Father, that your word is full of good things, Lord, and it's full of wonderful things which instruct us in history and geography, in the way to live. It helps us to understand the human condition. It helps us to have compassion. And Father, it turns us to thanksgiving. Because truly, Father, you are a wonderful God who has given us so much. And Father, I pray that as your people this week, we may live in the good of that we may mix your word with faith, that we will live as people who know that what you say about us, about others, is true. And what you say about Jesus is true. Mm-hmm. And what the scripture says, that Jesus died and rose again and will come again, mm-hmm. is true. So, Father, thank you for your word. Help us to be a grateful people. And the people will give thanks to you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Paul, will I do the notices? Would you like to do the notices?
Yes, indeed. The notices for the forthcoming week. There's a servants' council meeting tonight, 7 p.m. here, Steph. Yeah. There's teas and tots on Monday from 10 to 11:30. Men's group is on Monday night, 8 p.m. here at the church. Open door is on Tuesday from 11 to 1. And there's an open door Bible class from 1:30 to 2:30 on Tuesday as well. Wellness clinic week 2 is Tuesday evening, 7:30 to 8:30.
Not on this week.
Not on this week, there you go.
Just say that again, Paul.
So the wellness clinic is not on this week.
On the week after.
It's on the week after.
Yeah.
That's good for you, Jim.
What?
Next Sunday, there's a fundraising lunch. You can stay after. Please
come hungry.
I believe there'll be stews, curries, tray bakes, and garlic bread. That's the future, Robert. Future, that.
Can we give them an idea of
how many folk would like to come for that?
It's from
raising funds from Malawi.
Oh, it's from Malawi.
Yeah.
For the country as a whole.
Yeah.
It's plowing that in Germany.
Yeah. It's healthy.
Everybody, for goodness sake.
Yeah. Brilliant. Okay. Fantastic. And the final announcement. We had the football competition yesterday again for Malawi. Fantastic turnout. Folk from all around the world were there. You had Sandy Rowe Blue Men, folk from Sudan. I don't think there was any Nigerians there, Pastor Jim. But there were folk from all over. But there was a man of the match, a man of the tournament actually yesterday. This gentleman sits amongst us right now. This fella was actually on the winning team. And the Kingsway Cowboys, the team I was involved in, unfortunately we had an injury to our goalkeeper in the dying minutes of a dire 0-0 draw. the Battle of the Alamo, we were defending furiously, and our keeper Donal picked up an ankle knock approximately 2 minutes ago, and Andrew Brown courageously stepped onto the field of play, and in about 30 seconds saved one to a low right hand corner and dislocated his thumb in the process. But before that, he earned the right to be man of the tournament. So, Andrew, we'll present you with this. Steph Rogers.
Well done, sir.
There we go.
One last note, Steve. Since I have a heel, like, I now have a wheelchair, aluminium, lightweight, 8 kilos, and a mobility scooter, which is free to anybody who wants a loan of them. Or if you know somebody...